Now we have to move to the second step. The second step is I must keep cleansing my heart. So tonight, the subtitle for tonight's message is this, as we talk about step two, continue the process. Continue the process. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 51. I must cleanse my heart. That is, I must ask, accept, and apply. But then I must keep cleansing my heart. When we say, keep cleansing our heart, that means I must continue. I must continue. Continue the cleansing process. That word continue means to persevere. To persevere. Continue also means to be steadfast or constant in a course of action. Continue means to persevere, to be steadfast or constant in a course of action. We have to continue. Remember what we said, that I must work to be righteous, and being righteous is a continual work. That means it is a process that I must persevere in. It is a process that I must be steadfast in. It is a process that I must be consistent or constant in. It is a continuing process. And it does not stop truly until I go home to be with the Lord. If I am going to have a righteous heart, I must engage in the cleansing process daily, every day. Every day, every single day. Why is that? Why can't we just fix our heart and forget it? Why can't we just do this process one time and move on with the rest of our life? Well, Minister Gray said something last week, and I like this statement. New dirt is coming tomorrow.
Amen.
I like that statement. New dirt is coming tomorrow. Amen. That's why you have to keep cleansing.
Amen.
Because new dirt is coming tomorrow. We are confronted daily with that which defiles us.
Amen.
Every day. We are confronted each and every. There is not a day that goes by where you are not confronted with something that if you allowed it, it will defile you.
Yeah.
See, so today, I might say I am pure as the driven snow. But who knows what's going to come my way tomorrow? Who knows what's going to press me and cause me to act ugly? Today, I might be at peace in all of my relationships. Got everything under control. But tomorrow, somebody is going to give me a reason to have to forgive. Somebody's going to aggravate me. Somebody's going to irritate me. So I have to keep cleansing my heart. Today, my coworker or my sibling or my spouse might not be getting on my nerves, but tomorrow is not promised. Tomorrow, it might be a completely different story. Today, I might be pure in my thinking. My mind might be all on heavenly things. But tomorrow, there might be some new salacious gossip that comes my way. What is salacious, Brother Maxwell?
Yeah.
Salacious, spicy,
yeah.
Interesting,
yeah.
Gossip, yeah. That gets into my mind and starts to mess me all up. Today, I might feel real holy. But tomorrow, I might run into Sister Sally. You know I don't like Sister Sally. She always gets on my nerves. She always has something to say. Sister Sally might sit on my pew, and she knows this is my pew. Why are you sitting here? Every day there are things that confront us, yes, that cause us and can cause us to be defiled. Today I might feel really humble, but tomorrow somebody might tell me just how great I am. And I have to deal with that in my mind. See, church, it does not take much and it does not take long for ungodly desires, affections, emotions, and feelings to find their way into my heart.
Amen.
Doesn't take much and it doesn't take long.
Amen.
See, it doesn't take much for petty disagreements,
amen,
to develop into anger and malice.
Yes.
It doesn't take much for low self-esteem to develop into jealousy and envy. It doesn't take much for those little insults to develop into deep bitterness and unforgiveness.
Amen.
There are a million ways unrighteousness creeps into our heart daily.
Amen.
But the problem for us as believers is we are too busy being busy to pay attention to our heart.
Amen.
We're just too busy. Too busy doing all the things in life that we think God wants us to do. We are busy with life, but we are not steadfast with our heart. So we are busy being experienced Christians. Loving church, loving my activities, loving my group, you know, my group, my people, loving my spot, doing my thing, telling everybody what they need to do, telling everybody what's wrong with them. But no introspection is going on. No introspection is going on. I'm happy. I'm living life. I'm being the godly person that I think I am.
Yes.
Meanwhile, all that stuff, the daily disagreements, the daily dissension, the daily disappointment, the daily gossip, the daily insults, the daily praises, all of that stuff is making me feel some kind of way. But I don't address it because I'm living life. And I don't wash it out with the word of God and it turns into something else. Hatred, jealousy, envy, pride, self-righteousness, unbelief, unforgiveness, and it soils my heart. It is amazing that in the church, not this church, of course, I'm talking about other churches around the country and around the world, but it is amazing that in the church there can be so much malice,
amen,
so much envy and pride.
Amen.
How can that be? How can people lift up holy hands to an almighty God and hate the person that they're sitting next to? It is because I am not looking at my heart.
Amen.
So my heart, which was once clean, is now dark, bitter, and impure because I did not continue in that process.
Yeah.
I may have started that process when I came to the altar.
Yeah.
And I may have done the process for a while, but because I did not continue, all that stuff has creeped in and has defiled me. Let's look at Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Here in Psalm 51 is a cautionary example of what happens when you stop cleansing your heart. Psalm 51 is King David's psalm of repentance. It is a psalm of repentance. This is the psalm in which King David repents after being confronted by the prophet Nathan for sleeping with another man's wife and killing the man. After he was confronted and realized the depth of his treachery, he cries out in this psalm of repentance. And it is a remarkable psalm because if you really think about who King David was, the Bible describes King David as a man after God's own heart. King David was a righteous man. He loved the Lord. King David was a courageous man. Nobody had courage like King David. King David was a faithful man. He never served other gods. You never found anywhere in the Bible where he bowed down to other gods. He loved God. And David was a man who often considered the heart. In fact, he wrote other psalms about the heart. In Psalm 17, David prays a prayer to the Lord of deliverance. And listen to what he says. He says, "Thou hast proved my heart." In other words, you have examined my heart. You have put my heart on trial. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. What a bold statement. God, you put my heart on trial. You're not going to find anything wrong. I am right with you, Lord. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. David was a man who had an upright heart. And yet sometime after he became king, his heart became defiled. And he was filled with lust for another man's wife. That man's name was Uriah the Hittite. But he also became filled with other things. He was filled with pride, with malice, and indifference. So that when he impregnated Uriah's wife and could not cover it up, he had Uriah killed. And we need to understand how David, this man who was an upright man, we need to understand the depth of the treachery in his heart and how unrighteous he had become. Because you must understand that Uriah was no ordinary man. Uriah the Hittite was one of David's mighty warriors. He fought with David. He fought for David. And he helped put David in power. Uriah the Hittite was a mighty man of valor. He was no ordinary man, faithful to King David. And David killed him. Why? Because his heart, which was once clean, had become defiled. And David was so out of touch with the condition of his heart that he had to be confronted by the prophet Nathan before he realized how wrong he was. Let's look at his response to being confronted. When his eyes are finally open and he realized, my heart is not what it used to be. He says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge," in other words, "I accept it, Lord. I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. I see it clearly. I'm not debating with you, Lord." He says, "Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. I have no answer and I have no excuse. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. I've been living a lie. And in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom." David says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." He says, "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." I accept this to the point where I am broken for how defiled I have become. "Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities." Here is the verse. He says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." In other words, God, wash me from my filth. Fix my heart. What caused David to become so defiled? We don't know. Could it have been the praise that he received as king? David, you're the man. Could it have been the riches that he received in his kingdom?